Welcome back to Up to the Miners. I'm your host, Connor Rimson, and with me, as always, he's the Cody Gakpo to my Alfonso Davies. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
Oh, I was like, wait, who's Cody? Cody Gakpo is not on the Canadian national team.
He's not.
But he is on the Dutch national team.
That's right.
Who is the kid, Simon, on the Dutch team? He's the reserve.
On the Dutch team?
Yeah, he's like this hot up-and-coming kid.
I thought it was this guy. Honestly,
no,
Cody Gakpo's been pretty hot lately for PSV.
No, I know, but...
And then, you know, buried himself a nice goal the other day.
This kid is on...
What position does he play?
I think he plays striker.
This is terrible podcasting.
No, I know, you're right, and I'm sorry. We can start over, but you made me think of it.
Did he play in the game?
No, he did not, but he was on the bench, and they showed him sitting... He plays for the same team that Neymar, Messi.
He plays for PSG.
He plays for like their lower league, like their development league. Fuck. Oh, we're gonna have to come.
Oh, no. I know who it is. It's Javi Simons, the kid with the long curly hair.
Yes.
I know Simon. Who that guy is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The young child.
What's it? How do you spell it?
X-A-V-I.
X-A-V. Yes, exactly. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah. I absolutely know who this small child is. He's a midfielder.
But he's the real deal, or what are we talking?
I don't know, because I haven't seen him play. Because
he is on the bench.
He is on the bench. He's on the team. He's like for real on the team. He's 19. Yeah, he's playing at PSV this season.
Wow, you're right. Okay, I just saw that. Okay, so this kid, I mean, because I... so
he is Dutch.
What?
I mean, he is Dutch. Like,
I know, but I saw a lot of Instagram had a lot of highlight packs of this kid, like soccer Instagram.
Yeah. No, he's like a big hot, you know, young talent.
Yeah,
because like he was at Barcelona.
Yes,
and then he went to PSG.
Yes,
and now he's at PSV, and he's actually playing at PSV.
He's 1.3 million followers. Like, this kid's the real
kid. Yeah, that's crazy. Also, same club as Cody Gakpo, also at PSV.
Yes.
A renaissance for the
Eindhoven. So they showed him together. Eindhoven, I used to live there.
that was the point.
There you go. Oh, is that the point why you brought it up? You're so smart. But they showed when Gakpo got subbed off.
Yeah.
They showed him and Simons together.
Having a little moment.
And they said, the commentator was like, you know, this is the future of the Dutch team. And
it is.
And he's right. This, I mean.
It is.
Those two guys are really going to hopefully do something big.
Yeah, Cody Gakpo. I think he's 23. And he's been scoring a ton of goals this
looks
year.
Like. You can't see it, but this looks like a young girl.
Yeah, that looks like a small child. I don't think that's recent though. I think he looks less like a child than he does there.
Oh, you're right. This is more recent.
That's what he looked like. Sorry, this is again bad podcasting, but he does look like a almost an adult now.
No, but I mean it's very exciting, and obviously we're starting with this because
it's a World Cup.
The World Cup is here, baby.
It's the World Cup. The best time of the year.
I should change the jersey.
It's the most exciting time every 4 years.
I know, every 4 years. Do you remember where last World Cup was?
Russia.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. Yeah. How about that, eh?
How about that? I saw that the other day and I was like, I forgot it was in Russia.
Not entirely sure that this is a dramatically better choice, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. You might be right there, Ramston. That's a really good point.
I mean, just to go in on it, they played their first game on... Also, like, a lot of the stuff that people are doing as, like, these, like, half-assed protests, I want to say, to make themselves feel better about the fact that they're letting this tournament happen in Qatar is just like it gets more embarrassing every time.
What do you mean?
Do you hear about the armband thing? Where they're like, oh, we're gonna wear these One Love armbands to show that we support
Belgium with the away kits.
Yeah, we support all these communities. And then they were like, well, you get a yellow card if you wear it. And then everyone was like, oh, well, you know, actually, we're not going to do it. And it was like, yeah. Well, then, I mean, like, you really didn't give that much of a shit in the first place, did you?
And that's interesting you bring that up, because when I heard the punishment was a yellow card.
Yeah, I thought they'd just do it.
In my head, I was like, is it to the whole team?
It's just to the guy who wears
it. So then what are you doing?
Just do it. Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Yeah, no, it's pretty
crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Belgium's not allowed to wear their kit because it's too colorful. Exactly. And
yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there is a lot. And you're watching, obviously, the internet now is... It's funny because we say this every time something big happens.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, the internet is really showing. But for some reason, I feel like as we go further into the future, the internet shows more and more minute things.
Yeah.
You're like... You know, I saw a video today of like a woman trying to get into the Wales game with a rainbow hat.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, no. Yeah. And you're like, what?
Yeah, seriously. I will say, shout out to Weston McKennie on the US team, who dyed his hair rainbow colors. The one thing that they can't actually do anything about.
Did he really? I didn't see
that. Yeah. Which is hilarious.
Okay, maybe I did see that. Because I did see a guy with a dyed hair, but for some reason, to me, it looked like U.S. colors.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be. Maybe it's that. I had no clue.
No. You're probably right. But yeah. Right. Yeah, no, it's a wild, wild time. Because even like the opening ceremony was a little bit like...
Yeah, dicey.
Yeah, right?
You're like, what was Morgan Freeman doing?
What was Morgan Freeman doing there? And why was he on such a delay?
One of the all-time weirdest things ever.
So weird.
They're also the first team in the history of the World Cup. A very, very old competition to lose the opening game of the tournament. They're the first host team ever to not win. Which, to be honest, they're the worst host team in the history of the World Cup. So nobody should be shocked by that. Usually the World Cup is hosted by a team who doesn't suck. And then they schedule it so you get a winnable game in your first game.
Yeah.
There was no winnable game that you could schedule for Qatar.
Probably, no, you're probably the worst team.
So...
No, yeah. But
tough one.
Just like on a personal note, the nice thing about like obviously the World Cup is always weird in terms of what time we get it at.
Yes,
like
always.
It's all like some like Brazil.
Yeah,
we got lucky. We got a little bit lucky, nice. Time wise.
Mm-hmm.
But like Russia here, you know, South Africa. I mean, same thing. Like
They're always a little bit off.
Yes. But the nice thing is, and again, on a personal note, I've got a DVR, I've got cable, I can record everything.
Yeah, you can watch all the games.
And I can watch all the games, and I'm just really enjoying watching soccer at this kind of level. I understand everybody always tries to say, like, oh, I can't support the World Cup because of where it's being held. And I understand that. And it's obviously really dicey.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still nice to be able to watch international soccer.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm watching it. I'm not going to not watch it. I mean, it doesn't mean that I support Qatar or whatever. It just
that's the other thing.
I'm just watching the World Cup.
Yeah, I like what you said, like, and maybe we can cut this because it might be too personal, but we were talking about like, oh, you can't drink booze there.
Yes.
And you were like, well, I can still drink it here. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean... Yeah. You know, if you decide to go there, I guess you kind of got to follow by their rules. But
I really do feel for anybody who's suffering in the country of Qatar. But me not watching the World Cup is not going to change that.
No.
Also, I'm not going to watch the World Cup and think that what they're doing is great and we should now start doing it over here either. Like, I'm pretty happy with our way of life. And so, I mean... They're not going to convince me, so I'm going to watch the World Cup.
No, it's not like you're going to watch the World Cup and then start not drinking alcohol and hating gays.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm probably just going to watch soccer.
I'll just watch soccer.
Should talk about the tournament a little bit? We've had some things happen, some stuff.
Yeah.
Tell me
where you want to start. Tell me where you want to start.
Okay, let's start day two. Because day two, honestly, best day so far, I would say. Today was a little bit dicey in terms of entertainment value. Now, I didn't watch all these games, obviously, but it didn't seem like it seemed like we only had one entertaining game today. Yesterday, we had England absolutely destroying Iran, which was, they looked amazing. Jude Bellingham is a 19-year-old midfielder who is, I mean, he looks just like one of the best players in the world. And he's 19. And I just can't, like, some of these kids, man.
Isn't it crazy?
That's unbelievable.
It just makes us feel old, obviously. But when you see 19 and they're at the World Cup and they're doing some of the things, like,
yeah. It's a shame that we can't have the, number one most talented young player in Erling Haaland at the World Cup because he plays for Norway.
Isn't that? Yes.
A shame.
Yes. No, I agree. What did he sign with a team over the break?
He got
loaned to a team.
So he's, for fitness or whatever?
Yeah, they were like, we can't have him not fucking play.
Well, he's just training and stuff, though. He's not, yeah.
I thought he got loaned to a team that was still going to play.
Oh, no. He's not playing currently. He's just waiting for the World Cup to get an end. Like all the other guys who aren't playing, they're just going to train with their club teams or whatever. But so far this season, he has 23 goals in 18 games.
Insane. Insane.
So it's a shame we're missing him. Belgium
beat, that's like McDavid level.
Yeah. No. He's that guy. He's that guy. I've never seen anything like it. We've talked about him on this podcast for years. I just bring him up every like 6 months because I'm like, hey, by the way, there's this blonde dude who scores like 100,000 goals a game.
I still remember watching him score two goals at John's wedding.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
In the Bundesliga.
Bundesliga. Belgium or Holland beat Senegal. No Sadio Mane for Senegal, but I mean, like we talked about earlier, Holland, some young up and coming talent. A big win for them too, because that's probably the group deciding win right there, you would think.
Yes, I mean, I'll be honest. I watched the Qatar game.
Yeah,
I watched
it. It was the only one on,
obviously, and it was like a Sunday, so it was perfect. But like Ecuador didn't look terrible, man.
No, they looked okay. They did look decent.
I'm
not sure what that means though.
I guess, but look, I mean. I just the way the Dutch played in the first 80 minutes.
Yeah, it was a little shaky.
I mean,
Senegal is not a bad team. They just won the African Cup of Nations.
Yes.
They're missing their best player, but like it's not, they're not, you know, they're a solid team.
The goalie is the goalie for
Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Yes.
Yes.
He really cool story. He actually quit soccer. Like 3 years ago, his like wife convinced him to go try out for another team, made the team, got signed, got bought by a top French team, then got bought by Chelsea because their keeper, who is now starting again, was really struggling. So this dude came in as the backup, ended up taking the number one job, and then won the Champions League. So from like being retired to Champions League winner, it took him like 3 years. But now he had a pretty rough, he's had a rough like season. So he's back on the bench now.
I'll be honest. I mean, the header by Gakpo was
not great.
Again, I'm breaking down because I'm a bit of a soccer goalie. I was like, he whiffed on the punch.
Yeah.
Like he really went for it and he was not that close.
Yeah. No, he had a bad game and he's been having a bad season. He's actually been really struggling since he won the African Cup of Nations, weirdly.
Weird.
He won the Champions League, then he won the African Cup of Nations all in the same year, and then he's been really bad since. Not really sure what happened, but maybe it's like he just accomplished all his goals and now he's back to
I'll be honest, the Dutch goalie, and you're going to have to forgive me for not knowing his name because it was his first ever appearance, killed it.
Yeah.
Freaking killed it.
He did. He was great.
So good.
Yeah. Now the yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Holland. They're in kind of that period where, like, the team's starting to turn over a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, I was shocked. Group. I know Depay has been injured, and I was shocked to see him not start.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he was injured, and then, you know, the broadcast was like, oh, he's injured, he's probably not going to play, and then they put him on, I was like, well, then why wasn't he starting?
He might have only been able to, like, do, like, half a certain number of minutes, right? Yeah.
That's what I thought, too, but I was like, look, if you're willing to put him out for a little bit, why not start him and then pull him out?
Yeah.
Why not get the ball rolling instead of waiting?
It's more just like if he comes off injured in the first half, then you have to use an early sub. Whereas, like, if you bring him on late, then, you know, you know exactly how long he's going to play, right?
And I know you're going to probably know more about this than I did, but five subs.
Five subs. That's right. Five subs.
That's new, right?
It is. I'm not sure it's going to be permanent, but it might be.
Because Qatar and it's hot.
Yep. Yeah. They've been doing it for a little while just because COVID has all the schedules so cramped. And I think that's part of the reason they're doing it at the World Cup here. And during a lot of these teams' club seasons, they're doing five subs is because they know they have this World Cup in the middle of the year. So everyone's schedule is super compressed. So they're playing a lot more often. So I think that's why they've done it, just to try and stop guys from getting hurt, basically.
It makes sense. No, it obviously makes sense. But it was like, as someone who's, I don't know, only know three subs for as long as I have, it was just kind of shocking to be like, wait, five?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is weird. Definitely unexpected. And speaking of unexpected, I think there's one more game we should probably touch on while we're doing this. Maybe two, but we should definitely talk. Saudi Arabia beat Argentina.
I mean, so I saw a lot of this. It was what, the greatest upset in
definitely up there. This happens every now and then, but that's a big one.
But that, and then you see, because I think Argentina was up there in the favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
So I saw a lot of people say, well, Spain lost their first game in 2010.
That's true.
So
it's possible.
Know, It's possible, you know, you lose, you have a bad game, and then you talk to people that are like, well, it's a bit of a shot in the nuts.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, we're not really doing what we need to do. And the thing is,
if you're going to have a bad game, the first game is like the game that you can have a bad game.
Yes. Because
if they win every single game that they play from now on, they'll win the World Cup. So.
Exactly. Well, that's what the commentators were saying during the Dutch game, where they're like, look, if you get a tie, it's not that bad for either side. Because you're like, look, it's, we get a point, and we kind of get our legs underneath us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll figure it out. But, like, I don't know, a loss is a bit of a shot in the dick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially now, I did see that they got the VAR wrong. And Argentina actually did score a second goal that was called off for offside, which was not offside.
So,
which is the second time that they've done that in this tournament.
What was the first time? Qatar game. So, but why do you think the Qatar one was offside?
So, because when they showed across the line, they actually missed a dude at the end. It's the same thing they did with the Saudi Arabia one. They forgot to check the far guy on the far side of the field who would have played Lautaro Martinez onside.
Okay.
They only checked the guys directly next to him.
Yes, that's what I thought so too, because I was watching the Qatar game and I'm like my girlfriend was next to me, I'm like, I think something's wrong.
Yeah, they're missing a guy.
I think he's onside, and she's like, no, look, the video's, I was like, I know, but like
there's a guy over there. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a little bit worried about that, especially, like, I don't know, you start getting a little conspiracy minded when you notice that it's Qatar and Saudi Arabia who got those two calls. And given how the tournament got to Qatar in the first place with all the bribery, and then you think, like, this has actually happened before, when in 2002 or whatever, when South Korea went to the semifinals of the World Cup after some of the worst refereeing in the history of the World Cup. All of a sudden you think like, oh boy, are we doing this again?
it's kind of crazy because, I mean, with so much attention on it, you would assume that like they wouldn't be willing to risk tampering.
You would think, right?
But I saw an article somewhere where they were saying that like because of the scenario in Qatar that like tampering might be higher than ever.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a less important one because it didn't matter at all in the game because England won 6-2. But in the first few minutes of the England game, on a corner, one of their players got literally football tackled to the ground. And then I don't know how much of that game you watched, but Iran actually got a penalty in the last few minutes of the game for holding on a corner, which was, I mean, it was like one guy, one arm, like behind him. And you're like, okay, like that's, it's a pretty drastic. And the penalty wasn't called by the referee. It was VAR called it down. Right. And so then you start thinking like, okay, what are we? So, I mean, look, it's, we'll see what happens, right? We'll keep an eye on it. It's three. It's three now, though, that are kind of a little questionable.
And everybody's, and I know we're going to have to take a break here, but I hate everybody that's like, oh, like, it doesn't matter if you score clean goals, they can't take it back.
Yeah.
But the problem with soccer is there's, you know, the scores are really low.
Yeah.
And one chance, one goal, one missed call can make such a big difference.
I mean, it's easy to say to Argentina, like, look, if you guys got scored on twice by Saudi Arabia and they're not that good, so, like, it's your own fault that you lost. But also, like, I mean, if it's them, they're probably like, yeah, but we scored two goals. Like, it should have been a draw. So.
And again, if it's a draw in your first game, you're kind of happy. You're not too worried about it.
Yeah. And I mean, like the Ecuador game, that didn't matter. They won anyway. The England game, what I just talked about, that didn't matter. They won anyway. So it's not like, you know, it's not like they're really changing over the results, but it's something to keep an eye on, especially given like the circumstances around this World Cup. Something to be a little bit worried about, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree.
There was a rumor going around that the first game was fixed, which obviously it wasn't because Ecuador won.
No,
if it was fixed, no one told Ener Valencia.
Well, his first goal was called offside, which I was like, come on. Like,
yeah.
The commentators even said he's had three balls in the back of the net.
Yeah. If that game was fixed, there were some dudes in the dressing room at halftime who were like, dude, what are you doing? They're not going to pay us.
Slow down. Yeah. It's a wacky one because there's so much behind it in terms of, you know, political pull, I guess, where you're worried about where it's gonna head. But like, I don't know, man.
Still enjoying it.
That's the thing, is I'm still enjoying
it. Still having fun. Plus, like, I don't know. Like, I watched some of France and Australia, and Australia scored first, and you're like, oh, are they going to do it? And then France scored four goals. But, like, you know, like, it's...
I knew right away they weren't going to do it.
they scored too early. You know what I mean?
They blew their load.
Yeah,
they,
you know when the underdog scores and there's 80 minutes left, you're like, okay, you got no shot.
They blew their fucking load.
You need to score that goal, like, an hour from now.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, well, I guess we'll take a break. We'll talk more about this when we, you know, whenever we do this during the tournament, because I love getting to talk about a little bit of soccer.
Yeah. I mean, I think as long as the tournament's going on, I think we'll have a section where we do some soccer because it is exciting and I'm glad it's back. And, yeah, I mean, it's once every 4 years. The Euro Cup is cool.
It is.
Because, you know, it's still the same kind of product and you get what you get. But, like, I find the World Cup has such a bigger draw.
Yeah, it is.
And because it's the world. And I know that sounds stupid, but that's just the, you know, that's the fact. Like,
everyone gets
so much more attention on it.
That's right.
And just a bunch of European people who are like, oh, we live 5 hours from one another and we can see each other what we want.
You get exactly.
Like
there's no like Belgium versus Holland where you're like, there's not even that much of a difference.
Dude, we just fucking drive down and do this. The fact that Belgium is playing Canada, the fact that Croatia is going to Morocco, the Dutch play fucking Senegal and Ecuador and Qatar. And
it's so exciting.
Iran and England. I mean, I know it was a blowout, but that's still
it's just cool that that happens. Yeah.
It's a cool thing to watch. I know Iran's got its issues, but I mean, we'll get there.
Yeah. Poor guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, poor women.
Good luck. Whatever. Good luck to them all.
Good luck to them all. All right, but we'll take a break.
We'll take a break.
And then we'll get back to hockey.
Absolutely. Okay, we're back. And real quick, because I just realized we didn't talk about it at all, we should talk about the fact that Canada is going to play in the World Cup tomorrow for the first time since 1986.
Now, was 1986 their first time?
1986 was their only time.
So 1986 and that's it.
1986 is the only time that Canada's qualified for the World Cup. They finished 24th out of 24 teams, and losing all three games and scoring zero goals.
That's what I forget who. I think I told someone at work because I had heard that stat and I was like, if they score a goal, they're already better.
So, yeah. So, I will say that that team only lost to France 1-0, which is actually, I'm not going to lie, that's kind of impressive, given that they clearly were terrible.
I'll be honest. I think, and I hate to be this guy, because go Canada, but I think Belgium's going to slap the shit out of them.
Well, we will see. I will say, this team is actually really good. And I think if they weren't in this group, they might actually have a chance to qualify. But because they're in this group, they probably don't. Because this group has two legitimately fantastic teams. I mean, Belgium, last World Cup, finished third. Croatia finished second. That is as hard of a group as you can possibly get.
I'll be honest. If you take the Netherlands and switch them with Canada,
yeah,
Canada might make it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But
and this group is hard,
but this is, and it's a hard group, but I am excited to see them battle and really try. I mean, you saw it with Saudi Arabia.
It could happen.
Look, I mean, the world, that's the difference between this and hockey. Mm-hmm. Hockey, when it counts, it's seven games.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that really gives you a chance to get your legs under you and gives the better team a chance to play and try and figure stuff out. And everybody gets to work through shit. But this is one game.
Yep.
You get one game. And
anybody can win one game.
Anyone can win one game. And that's the nice thing about this tournament is, yeah, sure, you were better. You had better players. You had bigger names and people that were in higher leagues and scored more goals for their leagues and teams and clubs and whatever you want to call it. But look, it's one game.
Yep. Yeah, one shot.
And they made it to the World Cup, so
it's already a win.
They can't be complete dog shit.
Yeah, I saw an interview with their coach the other day, and he said basically he's like, we're taking it one step at a time. He's like, our first goal is coming here to score the first goal in Canadian World Cup history. He's like, we want everybody back home to get to celebrate in front of their TV at least one time before we go home. And I was like, hell yeah, that's what the fuck I'm talking about.
And that's the attitude. That's the fucking attitude you want.
Absolutely. Let's go out there. Let's get a goal. And then after we get a goal, let's do a little bit more. You know?
And that puts like it's not the pressure of winning the game on the guys.
Yeah.
The pressure is, which they've done, I want to say, I know I'm exaggerating here, but 1,000 times over, is score a goal.
Yep.
And that's not as much pressure as winning the fucking game.
Exactly. And, I mean, this Canada team, they have some really talented young attacking players.
A lot.
Who should be able to score a goal, let's be honest. I mean, Jonathan David and Alphonso Davies, those guys score goals. They're really talented players. I mean, and this is the other thing too. Like, Canada's already qualified for the next World Cup because we're hosting it.
Yeah.
So we're already in to the next one, and our best players are.
So wait, sorry, that's confirmed, right? We're hosting.
Confirmed. Yeah. We're sharing it with the U.S. and Mexico.
States, yeah.
But our best players are both 22.
But
next World Cup, that's our big one, right? This one, we got a tough draw, whatever. Just make a small step.
Yeah.
And being here already is a small step, really. But
I know this is jumping around a little bit. Don't you think that's a bit stretched out, the States, Mexico, and Canada? Like,
yeah, I think it's pretty crazy. I have no understanding of how they're going to do that. But
how are you going to make that work?
I don't organize tournaments, so I couldn't tell you. Maybe it's like one group will play in Toronto and one group will play in like Texas. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah.
The group will play in Mexico City and then like, I don't know.
Here's the thing. We're not FIFA. We don't have to
out. Yeah, I don't get paid nearly enough money in bribes to figure this out.
Have you seen the Netflix show? Apparently it's bomb.
I have seen the Netflix show. It is bomb.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, so since we don't have any oil money in our pockets, let's move on to hockey.
Yes. Although I do love the soccer talk.
So do I. But it won't be the last time.
What's that?
It won't be the last time.
No, I know. But we don't get to do it. It's every fucking 4 years and then the World Euro Cup. It's every two.
We can mix in some more. It'll be fine.
No, I know. But I don't watch the EPL like you.
That's right. All right. Well, let's talk about the Leafs. Because unlike last time we did a podcast, which was a long, long time ago, things are much less depressing.
Yeah, I want to know your thoughts on the fact that they're, 10-5-5?
Yeah.
And that a lot of people are saying it's basically 500.
Sort of.
Because it's technically it's technically 10 losses and 10 wins.
Sort of.
I understand. But they've shit the bed every time they played 3-on-3.
They are really bad at 3-on-3. I mean, there's no other way to possibly put it other than that.
I went to the Jersey game where they went 3-on-3.
Yeah.
And it was I was drunk. It was 20 seconds long.
it was very short. So they're 1-5 in overtimes. The one that they won is the Nick Robertson game. Which right. Feels like it was 100 years ago. They've lost 5 in a row since then. 3 of those 5 losses have come in the first minute of overtime. They were saying actually, I saw like kind of a funny thing online because every single overtime, Keith has started Matthews, Marner, and Riley, and they were scored on in the first minute, like on that first shift, 3 times. And someone was like, well, the only good news about Riley being injured is Keith can't start Matthews, Marner, and Riley for overtime. But
I mean, the last game yesterday, he didn't even start those guys.
That's right. And he, he couldn't because Riley wasn't there. And also, the game before it was, he started Tavares. Who then gave the puck away and they lost. So it's like a whole team thing.
It was Tavares. Yeah.
And last game, hang on, let me dig into my notes here because I wrote this down because I thought it was really funny. I only remember this because it stood out to me when we were doing the editing. You and I talked because I remember thinking, I was like, wow, we talk about Michael Bunting a lot. We were talking about Michael Bunting. And one of the things we said to talk about his role on the team is we joked about how like Michael Bunting isn't getting on the ice in overtime. Last night when they got scored on, the players on the ice were Austin Matthews, Michael Bunting, and Justin Hall.
Idiots.
And it's not who you probably want out there.
I'm sorry. That is not 3-on-3 is so skill specific. Like,
yeah,
it's speed. You need a little bit of hands. Like, grit and hitting does not work.
No, you and just don't. You're not able to do it.
You're not able to. Exactly. You're not able to do it. And that's kind of what Bunting is.
Yeah.
Some people say Hall is supposed to be able to skate. I haven't seen it.
I'm not sure when that. Not sure when that's going to happen, but
I haven't seen it. And I don't know. I mean, even on the play where they broke out of the zone, Matthews was standing there, kind of pointing at a guy while they like, you know, the play I'm talking about. Like, the Islanders are in their own zone. Matthews is skate like gliding towards the guy.
Yeah.
Points to one guy. The puck goes behind, the opposite way that he's pointing. And I'm like, are you shocked, dude? There's another guy on the ice.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I'll just say the last overtime that they played last night when they lost to the New York Islanders. So the problem with most of these overtimes, and this is, I think, part of the reason this is true, is because they've been losing them so quickly. But part of the problem with these overtimes is that they get scored on like immediately, and it's a really bad goal to give up. This actually, for possibly the first time, wasn't that bad of a goal to give up. It was a 2-on-2. They played it pretty well, and then the guy took an awesome shot.
It was a bit of a snip. It was a bit of a snip.
That's okay. That's fine. It's not like a complete disaster like literally all of the other ones that they've done. The problem with last night was the minute or so that they played before the goal was a complete disaster. They iced the puck twice in the same, like in about 30 seconds. And then Nylander destroyed his stick and went to the bench because he had, you know, just missed two really obvious passes. And William Nylander, I think that's the first time I've ever seen him frustrated. So, like, if it's getting to him, holy shit.
That's not, I know, dude.
That was really, really bad. Yeah, they're awful. And like, I can't even blame, there's no one you can even blame specifically because, like, I know I made the Matthews, Marner, Riley thing before, but one of those games they lost, terrible giveaway by Mitch Marner. Another one of those overtimes they lost, Matthews was literally an entire zone behind the play. I think that was the Vegas one. He was like a zone behind the play for the entire overtime. And Morgan Riley just got cooked like six times on all of these overtimes.
Yeah.
And the one against the Devils, John Tavares just gave them the puck. So like, it's literally everybody.
There's no like, and some people want to blame the goaltending.
I don't know. Like, I would like Sjogren to save that, I guess. But like, you think about it was a great shot.
Even the New Jersey goal,
he
saved it, and then there's a fat rebound. Like,
yeah.
I mean, somebody get to it.
The Vegas one was a clean breakaway, like a completely clean breakaway. You can't really blame the goalies on these.
Even going a little bit further, the San Jose game, Carlson.
That's right. That was a clean breakaway too.
Break. Like, I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah. The overtime stuff it's just ridiculous at this point. I don't know if they're in their own heads or something or what, but.
But that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I understand that they're 10-5-5.
Mm-hmm.
The overtime losses, you still get a point out of it. Great. But it's a loss.
They should be better than 10-5-5.
No, you're right. But, like, I went to the New Jersey game on Thursday night, and they lost in overtime, and it felt like they – like, it wasn't like, oh, we got a point out of it. We lost. It sucked. Yeah. We all left the stadium, and me and the boys were like, damn.
We lost.
And we went to the bar, and we drank.
You would have done that anyway.
Yeah, this time I didn't get to meet the Jays coach.
That's a shame. Story that will forever be a mystery on the podcast.
It's a lure.
Yeah, no, they suck in overtime. I don't know what more to say about it really, because like, so actually, here's the one thing. You know how some teams do that thing that's super boring and terrible, where they just hold on to the puck for the entire overtime and don't try to score, so the overtime ends and then they go to the shootout? Usually, like, teams who suck do this. I think the Leafs should consider doing this because they're really bad.
I know.
Like, one of the things that's annoyed me the most about this season is Pierre Engvall just going out there and doing cardio for 60 minutes and literally just skating around and not doing anything at all. but like this might be useful in overtime. Why don't we just give Pierre Engvall the puck and have him skate around for 5 minutes and we can go to the shootout.
Yeah, it is one of those things where you watch and you're like, I don't like, is there anything they can like do to fix this?
I just don't know, because 3-on-3 is so like unstructured and silly that like it's not like you can be like, oh, they're doing this specific thing wrong.
I know, but part of me thinks Marner would, like, at least Marner would thrive in a scenario like that.
You would think so. And Austin Matthews and William Nylander have both been good at 3-on-3 in the past. Like, I mean, they're not now for some reason, because we saw them ice the puck twice yesterday and then get scored on. But they used to be, so I don't really know what's happening. Morgan Rielly used to be really good in overtime.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I really just don't know what's going on.
He's the kind of defenseman that would do well in overtime, like the speed.
Yeah.
Hands.
Yeah, I really just don't understand what's going on with that. I wish I had more detailed and appropriate analysis for it. But
again, everybody's like, oh, you know, there's no 3-on-3 in the playoffs. Sure.
Yeah. But there is no 3-on-3 in the playoffs.
I mean, you know, it's not, it doesn't make me feel great that I feel like we're blowing a lot of these opportunities.
Yeah, it's already cost us like 4 points and the playoffs are like 6 months away. So why don't we just focus on this for now and then we'll get to the playoffs later.
A shot.
Yeah. Because, like, I don't know, we're probably going to have to play Tampa again and I'd like to have home ice again. Not that it particularly helped, but you know what I'm saying? It'd be nice. I don't know. Not been great. That is, yeah. So I have the Leafs have gone 10-5-5 on the season. They are since the last time we did a podcast, they're 6-1-3. They are one of only two teams to beat the Boston Bruins so far this season, which is pretty good.
That's pretty great.
They have three things wrong with them right now. The first one is overtime, which we just talked about. The second one is health. All of their defensemen are injured. Their top three defensemen are all injured.
Today was the day that we found out Rielly, like, obviously, okay, wait, I phrased this weird. Yesterday, Rielly went down with the injury.
Yes.
We find out today it's LTIR. So it's 10 games or what, 10 games, 24 days, whatever it is.
Yeah. Darren Dreger said that he is, it could be unlimited, right? But it has to be at least 10 games.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, Darren Dreger said that he heard, which means that someone told him. So I just assume that it's true.
Sure.
He heard Rielly is out 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain. So that's better than it could be, I guess. When I saw him twist his knee, I mean, Morgan Rielly, famously, part of the reason the Leafs were able to get him in his draft year is that Morgan Rielly tore his ACL in his draft year. So this is definitely better than him tearing his ACL again or tearing his other ACL. But yeah. We are going to miss him for the next 4 to 6 weeks pretty badly.
It's not a great start.
It's not a great start. TJ Brody is out for at least another week, they said, with his oblique injury. It's supposed to be a 2 to 3 week thing. If you remember, John Tavares was supposed to miss the start of the season with the same injury, but he came back at exactly 2 weeks and played in the first game. Apparently, Brody's is not going great. That's what Sheldon Keefe said. He said it's not healing as well as we would like, so he's not coming on the road trip, and we'll see what happens next week.
Fudge.
So he's out another week. Probably not more than that, but maybe more than that. And then Jake Muzzin is injured forever, maybe?
I don't think he's going to play again. I think it's when they come out, and Dubas made the statement, and obviously it's been since we recorded, that he was like, Dubas came out and he was like, oh, he's got family and he's got kids and he's got a wife and we got to think about that. I go, hey, maybe let's not make him play hockey again.
I think that was actually Mitch Marner who said that.
I thought, no, I'm pretty sure Dubas came out and said that.
The guy who was like, I don't know if he's going to play and all that, that was Marner, which is why I was like, okay, well, we'll see.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dubas was a little more, you know, he did say, like, we're going to be really careful and we're going to see what happens. And obviously our first priority is like his health and whatever.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But the guy who was like, I'm worried about my friend being able to play with his kids more than I'm worried about him playing hockey. And the one that sounded really depressing, that was Marner.
That was Marner. Okay.
Who was not a doctor.
You're right. No. Anything. If he's a fucking, never mind. I'm not going to say it, but, you're right. I did hear I think I'm blending the two because I did hear Dubas say, you know, his first priority is his health, which you're right, obviously. But, you know, I mean, our top 3D are down.
Yep.
I'm sorry. There has to be a trade.
I don't know what, you know, I mean, it's possible, I guess, but.
No, I understand. Like, there's so many cap issues and who's going where and what's it going to be. Figure it out. I'm sorry. I can't. What? You're going to go into the next game as who's the top pair now?
The top pair right now is Mark Giordano and Justin Hall.
Justin Hall?
Yeah. That's what they're doing. They have Hall and Giordano. And then Sandin and Liljegren are the second pair. And then they have
Ben and...
Yeah, Ben what? And it's supposed to be Mete, but it seems like they're going to give Mac Hollowell a game, which I think is a bad idea because he's
bad. Idea. He was bad last time.
Yeah, he's really bad. I don't think they should do that. Victor Mete is also not very good, but he's definitely better. But, yeah, not... Not what you want.
This is bad.
It's not good. I will say that the one thing that's covering this up a little bit is another thing that I want to talk about, which is that the goaltending might be better than we thought. Now, it hasn't been better than we thought because Erik Källgren has played a lot of games and almost all of them very poorly.
That's a really good point. I would, and I'll give you a minute, but how many, I would love to know how many games Källgren has played. Because
he's played 9 games.
So, and how many games are we into the season? We're 20 games?
Yeah. Played half our games.
Played half our games. And if we started the season and we, like, said we got Samsonov, Murray, and Källgren, and you said Källgren was going to play half our games, I would have said that we were fucked.
Yeah, I would think we were doing a lot worse than we are.
But we're not doing that bad.
We're not. But, because our other two goalies are apparently good. Ilya Samsonov, we talked about a lot last time and how amazing he was.
What's his injury? Is it also
His injury is also his knee. But they said that... So what they said is they're going on a 4-game road trip. And he's coming. But Keefe said he doesn't think he's going to play on it, but they want to bring him just in case he can. So he's like really close, I think. He's probably back next week.
Okay. I really like Samsonov. Murray, I mean...
He's been really good in the 3 games since he came back.
The only thing I've seen, and maybe I'm crazy here, Ramston, is the rebound control is a little wacky.
Yeah, he plays a little strange, but he's good. He's been really good.
Oh, I mean, there's plenty of goalies that play strange and did well. Hasek, Tim Thomas, my mother. No, I'm kidding.
After the whole Montreal game to start the season where he sucked and then got injured, we were like, oh, great, Matt Murray. Nah, nah, nah. But the last few games... I mean, I don't think he's going to be, you know, amazing forever or amazing every game. I'm sure there's going to be a couple more bad ones in there, but the last 3 games, he's been fantastic.
No, I haven't hated it. I have not hated it.
He's been really good. That New Jersey game especially, he was, that one you went to, he was absolutely unreal.
He's great.
So, I don't know. I think that's kind of promising, at least a little bit, because most of the reason, let's be honest, the only reason really that the Leafs lost last night, as much as we're annoyed about the overtime stuff, is because Eric Sjogren really, really shit the bed.
Yeah.
He passed the puck directly to the other team who scored, and then we had to go to overtime, which we're bad at. And then he let in a shot that, honestly, I can't blame him for that one. It was a
that one I shot. Can't blame him.
On, pretty fantastic it, shot.
It was the start of it. It was the
yeah, you know, the goal he gave away for free.
Yeah. Well, he just handed to him.
Yeah, and I mean, look, like we can be annoyed at that game. Last game for a big chunk of it, Morgan Rielly was out because he got injured and then played one more shift and then left. For the rest of the game, we played that with the defense we have now. It was just Giordano, Hall, Sandin, Liljegren, and Ben for the whole rest of the game. And they would have won if Matt Murray was in net or if Ilya Samsonov was in net. So that seems like maybe we can survive this until TJ Brody comes back.
Yeah, and I know this is a cliche, Ramston, but does it kind of feel like we're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic? Like
a little bit.
Are you at all concerned? Look, I mean, I love the optimism, and I'm an optimistic guy, and I love watching the team. But today's news of Rielly's injury really just was a bit of a gut punch.
But the thing is, right? I mean, that injury is a month, and it's a month, you know, it's November to December. Like I think this team, like all I care about really is that this team makes the playoffs. And other than that, I don't care about the regular season. I just want them to make the playoffs. And if I think about the playoffs, Morgan Rielly's probably there. TJ Brody's probably there. So really we just need to survive the month, or more specifically, we need to survive this week, where TJ Brody is not here, because, you know, it'll already start looking a lot better once he's in the lineup. Right now, I mean, the problem is like you're playing Mac Hollowell, but if you bump everybody down a spot and it's, you know, it's Giordano and Brody, and then it's Sandin and Liljegren, and then it's Ben and Hall, all of a sudden you're like, you know what? That's not that bad.
No, that's true.
It's not great, but it's good enough. Yeah. And then you get Rielly back in, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, it's looking okay again.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Okay. You just got to survive it, right? It's not the end of the season. If Rielly was out for the season, then yeah, we'd be screwed. If Brody was out for the season, yeah, we'd be screwed. I mean, I would really like it if Muzzin could come back too. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, just make it, right?
No, you're right. I guess it's not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
It is for now.
Wow, but it's more like trying to plug holes on the Titanic.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, I think you're right. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Yeah, if you can plug it until your next stop, then you can get it fixed, and then you can carry on your way.
The lifeboats arrive. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're right. Okay. Yeah. No, look, I mean, the problem with the team is I get emotional and I get very reactive.
Yeah.
And I look at like the what's next and not really too far ahead into the future, but like next game and like,
oh, I think this week is going to be pretty bad.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like in my head, I'm like, oh, so New Jersey's going to get their what 14th straight win.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But like, I just, you know, I think it's good to sometimes step back and get more of a perspective on what we're doing. But
yeah, I mean, let's look at it this way. We almost had to play Keith Petruzzelli, which was another joke that we made on this podcast when we talked about his exhibition game that your friends went to and they were like, oh, the goalie sucked. And you were like, oh, don't worry, he'll never play because he's like our fifth string goalie. He almost played.
He was signed to an NHL contract because he might have to play.
Yeah, and then Keith was like, nah, fuck it. I'm just going to go Sjogren back to back.
Sjogren back to back. I mean, that was ballsy.
That really was.
Paid off.
It did pay off. It worked. But my God.
I'll give him that.
We have some different lines for tomorrow. Do you want to hear the different lines?
And sorry, this is an aside. I saw a behind the scenes Instagram post of like them handing like their belt that they do after.
Love that.
And Shulgren is yoked.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Oh, dude. He's beefy.
Is he? That's funny. I did not know that.
Yeah. I was like, he was like walking towards Hall, handing him the belt. And I'm like, who's this beefy hunk?
See, I knew David Camp was, but I would say David Camp is another guy like that who I've seen doing the same thing with the belt. And I was like, God damn, that dude is jacked.
No, Shogren is beefy. He's a beefy Swedish dude.
It's funny with hockey players too, because like they aren't all, so like it does kind of show up, you know?
No, but that's the thing is like if you look at Phil Kessel.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, Jesus Christ, no wonder he always wears a shirt.
Congratulations on 1,000 games in a row, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, we all knew that was coming.
We all love Phil.
I love Phil.
Strongly pro-Phil podcast here.
I loved him as a Leaf. He was one of my favorite Leafs.
Big time pro-Phil podcast.
For me, top Leafs of all time. And I'm like...
Yeah, in your heart.
In my heart. In my penis and heart. Ed Belfour.
Yep. Solid choice.
I love Ty Domi.
Ty Domi. Awesome. Great pick.
I was always a fan of Cabrelet.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Sundin. And then.
Phil, you just said.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Wait. I'm just... In my head, buddy. It's funny. In my head, I just started thinking about the old 2000 Leafs, and I'm like, God, that was such a fun team.
It is weird that you're nostalgic for them because they actually weren't a fun team and they sucked
all. No, they were fun.
Oh, you mean the early 2000s? Those were fun.
They were fun.
The early 2000s were fun.
I have a son. Ed
Sundin and Belfour and Cabrelet and Ryan McCabe and, you know, all those guys. Gary Roberts. Yeah, those teams were fun.
They were fun.
They were. I did love those scenes.
Ed Belfour was. I had a
poster. Also, they were good, which was nice. I had
a poster of him in my room.
He's the man.
My fucker. I had a hard on for that guy.
Did you see him at the game recently?
No, was he at the game?
He was. He was at the Hall of Fame game when Boris Salming made everybody cry.
Oh
god! Ed Belfour was one of the dudes in that line, looking relatively sober, which was good.
I had a wet blanket next to me that night when Boris Salming came. My girl was fucking weeping.
Bit of a tearjerker there. A
little bit. I mean, it's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. He's such a like powerful, heroic dude. And also like they showed like he shows up at Leaf stuff for years. And every time he shows up, he looks like yoked and like he could just go play.
Yeah.
And then now you see him like this, like a year later, and you're like, oh, man. Yeah.
What's the disease he has?
ALS, isn't it?
ALS? Fuck. I don't even know.
All right. Let me read these lines. So we have some lines. Some new ones. Simmons is on waivers again, by the way. But
again? What are they trying to do to him?
Nothing. You have to do it every month.
Oh.
So the lines are Bunting, Matthews, Nylander, which I think they did last game. Robertson, Tavares, Marner.
Yep.
Kerfoot, Holmberg, Yarncroc.
For tomorrow. That's the lines for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because Robertson was scratched.
Yeah, for four games in a row. He's in, and he's in with Tavares and Marner.
I like that.
Right away. I like it too. Marner with two shooters. That's the move. Kerfoot, Holmberg, Yarncroc. So the Swede line that they've been playing with Holmberg, who I've actually liked, Yarncroc and Engvall is now Kerfoot, Holmberg, Yarncroc. And the fourth line, which has been Aston, Reese, Kampf, and Malgin, is now Aston, Reese, Kampf, and Engvall. For some reason, Malgin got scratched instead of Engvall, which seems deeply unfair, but... I don't know like what Engvall has on Sheldon Keefe, that keeps him in ever the lineup for every single game, but it's got to be something like really incriminating.
Yeah, maybe, eh?
I just like, I don't understand how it keeps happening. So we're going to New Jersey with that. We're going to New Jersey with another Matt Murray start.
Probably Matt Murray. Yeah, I was just gonna say, probably Matt Murray.
They can. We'll see if the Leafs and their terrible defense can beat a New Jersey team that has won 13 consecutive games and will be going for 14 tomorrow.
Look, New Jersey. It's been impressive when they played them the Thursday night that I went. I thought it was going to be a closer game in terms of like especially the overtime. I was like, oh wow, like when Nylander scored that goal.
Yeah,
I think we were all like, oh, we're lucky.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they were the better team.
The whole crowd and everybody there was kind of like, oh shit, we might get luckier.
Yeah, because the Devils were the better team that game for sure. I totally agree. If they won the game, Matt Murray would have stolen them the game.
Yeah. And then when they started overtime,
yeah,
they never left the zone.
Just an immediate disaster.
I like turned around for 2 seconds and the game was over. Like it was.
So we should talk about this really quick. And then we'll take a quick break. And then we have like two more things. Just a couple of NHL bits and pieces. But the New Jersey Devils are second in the league, having won 13 straight games. I think what's even more incredible than that is that they are second in the league. They've won 13 games in a row, and they're in second place because Boston.
Boston? I was going to say Vegas.
Boston has won 17 games, and they've lost two. One of which was to the Leafs.
We're the best team in the league.
That is how it works, I think. If you beat the best team in the league, you become the best team in the league.
I'll be honest. Okay, so if they beat Boston.
Yeah.
If they beat the Devils
tomorrow. If they beat the Devils, then there you go. Now we're officially the best team in the league. The two games that Boston has lost this year are to the Leafs, and they lost a game 7-5 to Ottawa. Those are the only two games that they lost all season.
Bad.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Ottawa after the break. But yeah, I mean, I am increasingly worried that it's just the Bruins' year this year. And that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break because we got like two more things to do. And we're back. And the first thing I want to talk about, we got just a few little things before we finish up. Shane Wright to the AHL on a condition extend.
Okay. So tell me why, because I don't get it.
So there's a rule where you have to send CHL players under 20 back to junior, which I know is what you're thinking of right now.
Rule.
But there's also a rule where if a player is healthy scratch for 4 consecutive games, you can send him to the AHL for 2 weeks.
Like a conditioning stint.
It is a conditioning stint. It's exactly a conditioning stint.
So it's what you call in the business a loophole.
That's right. That's exactly what you call in the business. So basically what the plan is, I think, is they were going to do this before. But then Jared McCann got injured after he sat 4 games. So he sat 4 games, then played in the NHL, and then the clock reset. So he had to wait another. Poor Shane Wright. But anyway, the plan is now he goes down, he plays 2 weeks of AHL. And then he has to come back up to the NHL. The game that night is against Montreal. So people assume he's going to play that night against Montreal. And then they're going to send him down to junior for the rest of the year, just in time for the World Juniors.
But why not send him down to juniors now?
I think because he's too good for juniors, but not good enough for the NHL. So they ideally actually do want him to play some AHL games.
To get some experience?
I think if they could send him to the AHL for the whole year, they would, but they can't.
So their plan is to like yo-yo him between the AHL and the NHL for a bit,
And then send him to junior.
And then send him back to junior to play, what, half a season?
Yeah, the World Juniors and then, like, the end of the season and playoffs for junior. Seems like that's the plan.
That's not a bad idea.
I've heard worse ideas, to be honest. It's not, you know, it's not ideal, but...
He's got no goals. He's got, what, one assist?
Yeah, he hasn't looked good.
He hasn't looked good. So I do understand there is a case to be made for just trying to keep him in a development league.
Yeah.
And put him in the AHL. So, yeah. Yeah, this might be smart.
Yeah. This year's draft, I mean, looking kind of weak.
Sorry, what if he goes to the AHL and he gets his fucking face pounded in?
Well, then that's a shame.
He's a big boy. He's a big boy.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, I assume he's good enough then that won't happen. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, kind of a weak draft. Because when you think about it, out of the top six, or I don't even know, actually. Let's just say, like, the top however many picks, because none of these guys are in the NHL. After Shane Wright goes down, which he will, the only player in the NHL this year is going to be Juraj Slafkovský. The only reason Juraj Slafkovský is in the NHL is because Montreal's not very good, and he doesn't exactly look awesome either. So, just kind of a bad draft. What are we doing?
I think so. I was saying this before. I think Slafkovský had a bit of a recency bias. I think he played in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And he kind of lit it up, and people were like, whoa, check out this fucking 6'4" winger, you know?
Yeah.
And watch him light it up and let's see what he can do. And I think he played well in the juniors, which he would as a kid, fucking 6'4".
Yeah.
Like I think there's a bit of recency bias there. Shane Wright might be the better player. But I think he's going to take a minute of development.
I missed a whole year, and then this year's just been a shit show too, right?
I think COVID. Here's the other thing is with these draft classes that have been coming up, I mean, COVID is a factor.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't pretend it's not. You can't pretend that, like, oh, these kids should be as good as they all would be if, like, there was no COVID. No. They had Didn't Shane Wright not play for a whole year?
He missed a year. Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's kind of funny looking at the next year's draft class and how excited everyone is for all of these picks, because there's, like, apparently a ton of franchise players in there. And you look at this draft class and you're like, well, it kind of looks like there isn't a single one.
No, and I'm sure we're going to look back on this conversation and go, oh, maybe there was a few, maybe there was like a couple that turned out to be decent.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I don't think there's anyone here that is going to be a franchise player like a Matthews, like a McDavid. Yeah. And I mean, we've seen the highlights. Bedard scored a goal the other night.
Oh my God, yeah.
He gripped the kid and he snipped it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about franchise players.
He's incredible. Yeah. There's a few guys in that. There's Michkov, too. There's that Swedish guy. There's Adam Fantilli. Like, there might be, like, four or five guys in that draft who are studs.
There you go.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Okay, I asked you this question earlier, and then I let you off the hook, but I'm going to ask you it again because there's no way you're going to get all three names. So, McDavid is first in NHL scoring. Leon Draisaitl is second. Who are the three guys who are tied for third?
Okay. I'm going to guess Pastrnak.
Yes, that's one of them.
I'm going to guess Marner.
No.
Oh, fudge. I'm going to guess one more player to wrap it up. I'm going to guess... Marchand?
It's not Marchand. It is Pastrnak, Jason Robertson, and Erik Karlsson.
Jason Robertson he's lighting it up, eh?
He is lighting it up. He is third in goals and third in points.
I love this kid.
He's unbelievable. And Erik Karlsson.
I know. Well, when I saw him score a breakaway goal in overtime against the Leafs, I knew he had something.
Erik Karlsson is leading defensemen in points by 8. He has, he's also leading them in goals and in assists. And he's leading defensemen in goals with 11. The next closest is Rasmus Dahlin, who has 7. And Rasmus Dahlin scored 7 games in a row. Can you imagine? He scored 7 games in a row and he's still like way behind. Erik Karlsson is playing like Erik Karlsson before he got injured.
You think this is sustainable though?
I have no idea.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, trade him because he's great. Like the value is high.
Yeah. Well, it's more like trade him because he's really good right now and you're not using him because you're terrible.
Right. But my argument is like, I don't think GMs are going to be like, oh, this is sustainable. Like,
yeah, I don't know, man. All you need is one. You just need one guy. Look, all I'm saying is last season, Erik Karlsson had 35 points. And the year before, he had 22 points. And this year already, he has 29.
That's insane.
He has 11 goals this year, which is already the most goals he scored since 2016-17.
So what do you think happened?
Well, he tore his Achilles.
No. Right. So why now? Why is he?
I have no idea. Maybe he's just finally healthy. He looks like Erik Karlsson. The only thing that's weird about it is he still can't remember how he used to be like one of the best skaters in the NHL. And then there was that weird thing where he couldn't turn. He still can't really skate as well as he used to. He can skate like okay again, but he can't skate like he used to. But he's like figured out how to make his game work again. And like his passing and shooting are like as good as they used to be when he was the best offensive defenseman in the NHL.
That's so crazy.
It's unbelievable. I really can't. I've never seen anything like it. I can't believe he's doing it again.
Yeah.
This one's just like a personal one for you, but let me find his stats because I know you're going to ask for them. Jack Campbell has been really, really bad.
Terrible.
And last night he got hit with a puck while sitting on the bench and broke his
nose.
No. Yeah. he broke his nose. Pardon?
How did I not see this?
I don't know, but he broke his nose while not playing. So his ear is going really, really badly. He currently has an .873 save percentage.
That's insane. He broke his nose sitting on the bench?
Yep, he got hit with a puck. And he's not catching them too well lately. directly in the face.
Oh, shit.
And yeah.
That's wild.
That's really going bad. So all of those Edmonton Oilers reporters who took all those weird victory laps in the summer about how much smarter they were than the Leafs for signing Jack Campbell.
Yeah.
It's already a disaster and he has 4 years left.
No, I think you're right. I think Dubas made the right call because committing to someone for that long, especially at his age, it's not a good call.
I mean, I would be saying that even if Matt Murray still looked like shit, I would be saying this was the right decision.
I agree.
But with Matt Murray looking good, I mean, now it's
kind of helps. But even if Matt Murray was looking like shit and Samsonov was playing well,
yeah, that'd be great too.
We'd be like, at least we got one.
Yeah. I feel bad for Jack Campbell because I did really like Jack Campbell, but
I know, but
I'm kind of enjoying him being bad.
I think a lot of Leafs fans are, buddy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Leafs fans are like, good.
I do feel bad that he broke his nose sitting on the bench, though.
I just tried to look it up. I couldn't find it, but
I'll send it to you after.
Oh, yeah, please, because I want to see this. I want to see his fucking face break.
So, currently in first place in the race for Connor Bedard is the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. The Anaheim not Mighty Ducks, because they aren't the Mighty Ducks anymore, even though they will be forever in my heart. In my heart, they still wear purple and green jerseys that aren't terrible, and they're called the Mighty Ducks.
You know what's funny is I know they're called the Anaheim Ducks, but like in my head, I assume it's kind of like they are the, I don't know, like the Mighty Ducks just is like ingrained in my head as like that's what their sub name is.
Yeah. They have won 5 games this season, but somehow they have not won a single game in regulation.
That's still true, because I saw that the other day. It's still true.
It is still true. They have won, their wins on the season, Seattle in overtime, Boston in the shootout. Or sorry, they lost to Boston in the shootout. Beat the Leafs in overtime, of course. Beat the Sharks twice in the shootout. And they beat the Red Wings in overtime. And that's it. 0 regulation wins. We are deep into November.
Oh boy.
So Connor Bedard and Trevor Zegras, that might be a lot of fun.
That might be a great
game. I think I'd enjoy watching that, actually.
I'll watch that Zegras pass.
Yeah, I could definitely get into that. Now the embarrassing team sitting right next to them is the Ottawa Senators, who thought they were going to be good and whose fans were very excited about this season and who are in second last place.
Yeah,
I guess Josh Norris was injured, who is their number one center. But I mean, I don't think that really excuses stuff like losing 5-1 to San Jose or losing 5-1 to New Jersey the game before that. or the long list of losses. Sorry?
The Brinkcat's been struggling.
Yeah, he's been tough.
Stutzla's been okay.
Giroux's been okay.
Chabot being out.
That's, yeah, their defense was bad before that. Now it's just, it's really, truly terrible. And the last dumpster fire we have to talk about really quickly is the Vancouver Canucks. What is happening?
So
Bo Horvat is second in the NHL in goals.
Oh, second?
He's second in goals in the NHL. And Elias Pettersson is playing pretty well. And they're still terrible. How?
I mean, JT Miller's getting points, is he not?
Yeah, but JT Miller is really bad.
Yeah, but at least he's getting points. Are they, because everything that I've heard and read is like they hate, or the GM and the president hate the way that their systems are. And are they going to fire Bruce There It Is?
So it seems like they're trying to blame Bruce There It Is for the fact that the team sucks, which seems unfair because Bruce There It Is, of course, did not sign the defense corps that he's currently being forced to work with.
Bruce There It Is created this podcast.
That's right. He sure did.
So
he named it, at least.
You keep his name out of your mouth.
Now, what they've been doing, which is like to an insane level, is blowing leads. They haven't had a lead this year that they can't lose instantly. And they just had one last night in Vegas where they managed to take a 4-2 lead in the middle of the third period, which they then lost in regulation, which has been kind of the story of their entire season. Just embarrassing loss after embarrassing loss. I mean, they are the team who lost to Shogren on the back-to-back. We talked about the Shogren back-to-back earlier. The Leafs won that game against Vancouver.
That's such a good point.
They are really in a tough spot. And if I was Vancouver, I would just say, hey, Connor Bedard is from Vancouver, so maybe we should just fuck this whole thing off.
Is he really?
He absolutely is.
In my head, he was, because I know, who does he play for?
He plays for, is it Regina?
That's, for some reason, I guess I just thought he was like an Alberta or Saskatchewan boy.
Yeah, no, he's from Vancouver. He plays for the Regina Pats.
That's why maybe I thought he was
a prairie
guy.
Yeah, no, he's a Vancouver boy. So, I don't know, man, maybe you just go for it, right?
No,
you trade Bo Horvat. You trade everybody. You tell Pettersson, like, hey, maybe go on vacation for the rest of the year. You make JT Miller a defenseman. And then you just see what happens.
You Tanya Harding Elias Pettersson on the way to the bench.
Yeah. and you just let the ship sink. You know what you do? You do fire Bruce. But you know what you don't do? You don't hire a replacement. You just go no coach. Let it burn.
Yeah, or just, you know, let our podcast be the coach.
Yeah. Oh, we could coach the Vancouver Canucks, especially a team that's trying to lose. I think we'd be fantastic.
From Zoom, though. And like, we don't.
Yeah, I don't want to move.
We don't change anything. We just talk the way we do.
I definitely think that would help.
I think that would turn the team around or make them tank for Bedard. What is it? What is the thing you said? Suck hard for Bedard.
Suck hard for Bedard. No reason not to. If you can get a look, you could have a local star at the end of the day.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
or you could just lose your captain to free agency.
The problem with the lottery is, I guess you'll get like a, because like you said, there's so many franchise players out there, like Michkov.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think he's going to be sick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who knows when he'll get here, but yeah.
Well, I mean, once the Ukraine surrenders.
Yeah.
But I think if you're tanking, you're going to get lucky and you're probably going to get a decent player out of it.
Yeah.
But I think if your goal is for Bedard, I mean, it's a bit of a gamble.
For sure. Yeah, it's a tough one.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're willing to gamble, you know, trading away your captain and everything else. And like you said, putting Miller on defense and telling him to go back to Sweden, like, it's a bit of a gamble.
For sure. I don't know. They're kind of locked into this team, and it's very obviously really, really bad.
No, I agree. I agree. I think it's fucked.
And so it's just like, I don't know. I can't see any other way out of it, really. Their defense is so bad, even after getting Ethan Bear, that it's like almost, it's almost incredible just looking at it.
Kind of smart of them to get Ethan Bear if they were trying to improve.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, this team, this is tough to look at. All right. Well, I think that's it for us this week. You go Canada, and you want to sing us out?
Is that how you, yeah, you want to go Canada? Okay. It's up to the Miners podcast. Go Canada.